This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All my favorite jokes make no one laugh. All my favorite podcasts sound like trash. Love my mom, but I don't love my dad. All my favorite jokes make no one laugh. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know what's wrong with me. Bought a Top Shot, it was 10K, but it won't sell, and I feel sick. That was all my girlfriend's savings, so I'm all alone, cause she hates me. I was trying to get rich, I think God owes me. Call me Liquid Nice, but don't take that nickname from me. All my favorite jokes make no one laugh. All my favorite podcasts sound like trash. Love my mom, but I don't love my dad. All my favorite jokes make no one laugh. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Damn.
Whoa. That was epic.
That really is... That sums up what it is to be a fan of Jake and Amir, I think. All my favorite jokes make no one laugh. I can imagine that.
Josh Rubin in the house. Josh, what do you think of that?
Who was that? Dadley Imbruglia? I mean, nice. Come on. It was a little. Who's that? Bradley Imbruglia? Michelle Branch? I mean, come on. I thought it was fine. The effort was okay.
We brought Josh in to be the Simon Cowell of If I Were
the
You.
Music
we
critic.
Needed a third.
And I give it a fanship for. No. Anyway, my titties are sad. It's very well done. I hope they have a wonderful career ahead of them. Now I'm the Paula Abdul.
Well, this guy,
you're crying.
You're turning into all four of them at the same time. I personally requested a Weezer parody for my new favorite song. All my favorite songs make no one sad.
make me feel sad. Make me feel sad. I think.
I don't even know the lyrics of my own favorite song. Either way, we got a bunch of got a bunch of good ones, and this one is from Tad's Shepherd. Just shout me out, Tiago D'Souza, working on music currently, but maybe I'll have something to plug in the future. So
wow.
Thank you, Tiago D'Souza.
Oh, hey,
his name
Tiago?
Was Tad. That could have been Tadley and Bruglia. That
holy shit.
It could have been Tadley Imbruglia. If only
God.
I knew. I almost said I meant to say Bradley Imbruglia. You know, you ever do that when you're like, I'm going to say Bradley Imbruglia.
No.
And then you just
yeah.
Say, like,
never
Doink.
Say that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Josh, how the hell are you? We haven't caught up since the world started burning.
First of all, you guys look phenomenal, sound great. You know, I have my AirPods in. We
yeah.
all have a Rode mic, a Shure mic, an iced coffee, a milk.
Mm-hmm. We all
it's
have a
great
milk.
To see you.
We're all drinking
we all have
milk.
It's been a minute. This time last year, like this week last year was my last date, like out in the world, like my fiance and I. Like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, we went to see Invisible Man and then went to get a massage. An interesting date.
Yeah. It all worked out. You said fiance, so
yeah, it did. You have to introduce some bright light of good news. In the shit field that was 2020.
Yeah.
But I remember like that when we were to see a matinee and they're like, let's get a massage at this random place in Silver Lake, and we went, and the masseuse shook our hands, and then she immediately like started pumping Purell into her hand as if to make it, like, and I was just like, this is something I did. Like, I knew that, you know, it was coming, but it did make me feel bad. And so it was just like kind of being to, like, touched like all over the place.
What a last thing to do before, fearful. Like, we'll never ever touch somebody again without being like, oh, are we going to be okay?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to get a deep sweet. Like, you know, in a windowless room ever again.
But a damn good last hurrah. That's the last massage you'll ever get.
Yeah. Oh, and I ate like a sloppy burger at Alamo Drafthouse watching Invisible Man, which was like the last film in theaters. So Lee Whannell's just swimming in surplus cash because it's like, you know, it's a good movie, but it was kind of like, you know, after 9/11, everyone was like, fuck it, I'll see Glitter. Like, why not? I'll see Mariah Carey and Glitter. Like, it's out. I'll see Glitter.
Yeah, it's like you knew it was going to be your last hurrah. Like, why would you get a massage without knowing full well exactly what was about to go down?
What was the last thing you guys did in the real world? You know, like when things were normal. What's your last memory?
I remember
not having to think about it.
I remember what it was. It was, I went to a sports bar to watch a Laker game, and it was cutting it so close that, like, I felt bad shaking people's hands. Like, I was like, people would like go to shake my hand, like, maybe let's be safe and like elbow bump. And I got a weird look that's like, all right, bro, like, relax, man.
It'll be gone
in a day. And then I want to find those people, be like, hey, remember when you want to fucking shake my hand? Well, he died. He ended up having COVID and he died.
But
I want to go to the funeral.
I can't remember if we've talked about this on the podcast, but the guys that run HeadGum, we all had like a Zoom and I think Amir, I think it was you or maybe Cohen asked, like, on a scale of like one to like raise your hands, how concerned are you guys about coronavirus? And we all did it on the count of three, and I put up two fingers.
As in, I'm saying deuces to this shit.
I think about it every single day. How wrong I got it.
My sister, who actually, she's a touring musician and had gotten back from Wuhan. She's patient zero. All happened. Yeah, she's like, I'm telling you, something is coming. Like, she bought us walkie-talkies, a life straw, which filters out, like, piss to make it drinkable. Two N95s, like, the real ones that are now, you know, $6,000. And, you know, like, a map of LA. And she's like, please take this home. Because I was in New York and I was like, fuck you, sister. Like, no. And then I begged her to risk her life and go to a post office and send it to me. And she did. And she laughed. She cackled.
I need to drink my own piss. Send me the piss straw, sis.
Please. I don't have any TP. I don't have any TP. Please.
And that was after you got vaccinated. This was just last week. Yeah, you begged her for the piss straw.
This is like 62 hours ago, honestly.
I just got bored in lockdown. Now I'm just curious about the piss straw.
I'm finally willing to admit I was wrong. But also, throughout this quarantine, you released a movie, which is like a pretty big accomplishment for a year where a lot of people felt too despondent to do anything.
And as a 30-something white male, I thought, what a better time to show off and tell people how great I'm doing.
Yes.
One movie came out, another one is like, their announcements are starting to come out about, you know, yes, this summer theaters, like, please risk your life and check out Werewolves Within, dropping June 25th. I think we'll be okay, but
maybe that'll be the glitter. Maybe your movie can be glitter, man.
That's right. People will be coming out of it going like, I guess I'll see that.
Yeah,
I feel shielded from terrorism. Yeah.
Movie theaters open on Monday in LA, if you can believe it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a lot of maskless, like a lot of just, we have to hang out. Apparently we're 1 in 4 out here, which is fantastic, shielded, but you know, it's like, let's not jump the gun. But it does feel like this year was a little bit like, all your dreams are going to come true, but they're going to have a little bit of poo-poo on it.
Oh, that's how I, like, the monkey paw.
You got the golden ticket, absolutely. You have the golden ticket, but there's just a little, there's someone else, there's something on it that smells like shit. We wiped
duty.
It off.
Yeah, you have duty on the ticket.
Absolutely.
It's
there's
good.
Duty. You have
it.
A little bit of doo-doo on your dreams.
Yeah. Although, so it's, you know. I saw Scare Me streaming, and that's how I watch every movie. So it felt like a theatrical release because, you know, like all these major movies have come out out on whatever, Amazon, Netflix. So Scare Me just felt like one of those real movies that came out.
And did you like it more or less than Clockwork Orange, your favorite?
Wow, that's a great question. I think I would put it right above Clockwork Orange. I'd have to, because you're in it.
Oh, dude.
You're in it.
Oh, come now. And that means a lot.
As the director of Scare Me, did you also torture your actors during the making of this movie to get an authentic performance like Kubrick did in Clockwork Orange?
I did.
Did you make people sleep deprived and cold, angry, and scared?
I screamed at Aya Cash in the scene where she didn't even need to open a heavy door. But everybody got like such a bad flu, like tuberculosis flu. And somehow I made it through without getting sick at all. There's literally a scene where Aya crawls on the floor when she was at her sickest and then like gets in my face and growls in my face. And I thought, well, this will be it and it'll be fine because it's, you know, it's worth it. It's my film.
Right.
But I was fine. Wow. I was fine. Wait, to a pasta dinner after we wrap. Wow.
And when did you
you know, a year later,
was it was like the winter of 2019 or 2018?
Yeah, 2019. Exactly, 2019. Yeah, because we went to the last super spreader or the first super spreader event, Sundance 2020.
Wow.
In
right.
Utah, which like shortly after we left, people were like, that may have been where there was a lot of
we shouldn't have had that. German, yeah, German,
right, that was February.
Amir and I were supposed to that. We were supposed to go to South By, which was like rightfully canceled. Ooh, but like leading up to it, they just kept on like kind of like making the event a little bit smaller. It's like, it's gonna be fine, we're gonna do it. Some people canceled, but we're gonna have we'll still do our house. And then like the day
it was March, right?
Yeah, I think actually, yeah. Amir and I, you and I pulled out before they canceled, and then they ended up canceling the week after.
Yeah, I think we are what did it. They're like, Jake and Amir is not coming. Like, this is just going to be the domino effect. Yeah. We still have like Obama, but like, what's the point at this at this rate? People are dropping likewise. Yeah. So what's the latest?
It'll be all but digital.
What's the latest with Scare Me? I see that like DVDs or Blu-rays are being shipped.
DVDs shipped, Blu-rays shipped. Got big props to RLJ for sending me a bunch of free DVD and Blu-rays. I'm going to give away to some fans. They're all damp. Like they have a little tear in their jackets. So I thought that was really good that whoever was like, you know what, I'm going to send these to the director. I just want to make sure that these are a little damaged.
Yeah.
These six.
A little poo-poo on the dream.
A little poo-poo on the dream, really, at all levels. So the DVD's out, the Blu-ray's out, which is wild to have my face on a product of any kind that, you know, I didn't ask a props person to make. And there's a making of podcast called Make Cool Shit about the making of, about like the play-by-play of the, you know, the drama, the highs, the lows, cars getting stuck in ditches, poor Becky Drysdale having to squeeze through a car window to get behind the wheel of the car for all the car shots.
Wow.
And yeah.
Are you the host of that podcast?
No, Aaron Kafitz, who used to do a bunch of College Humor videos back in the day. Really lovely New York boy.
Love a New York boy.
So, you know, and now you just put it out into the world and you just honestly collect. I mean, I've made at least negative. Do you guys know the story? I didn't cash out all of my 401k from IAC, but at least $26,000 from my 401k.
Wow.
How does that work?
It's taxed heavily, right? You get a penalty.
Yeah.
You have to pay a penalty.
I haven't gotten the penalty yet. That's technically, I guess it's a loss. I don't know how the IRS will, like, I don't know what the reprimand will be, but I've talked about it at every level. Like, it's, you know, like, the headline for some Vulture article at some point was like, Josh Rubin, you know, cashed out his, but I did. I took out a significant portion, and I don't know when the penalty will come.
Wow, she's going to drop.
At least 2020 happened.
But I mean, that's a gamble that worked, though, right? Like, that's you, it seems like, you know, betting on yourself and making this movie has like led to a lot of other great stuff.
Yeah, you can, it's kind of crazy. And the wildest thing is when I wrapped Scare Me, $26,000 less wealthy, with almost no money in my bank account, otherwise because I spent a year prepping this movie, I booked a DiGiorno commercial directing a DiGiorno like campaign with Jay Farrow. And I didn't have to like pitch on it because I'd done one like a year before. And they were like, you can just fly here and just come right to set. So I got there like broken, exhausted. And after having led this whole movie and having to answer every single question and like guide everyone who's just like, you know, probably quite unhappy to be making $125 a day. I got there and they're like 15 people excited to answer for me because that's what commercials are. It's like 19 cooks in the kitchen. And it was such a relief where usually I just feel like, fuck this. It was just great. Like, you know, I was like, I think we should put the couch, and everyone's just like, over there by the window next to the pizza oven with the with the cheesy crust pull. And I was like, okay, yes, answer for me.
Is that all right, Josh? Yep, looks good.
Uh-huh. So grateful for, the cushion.
Well, what's the log line for Scare Me in case people haven't seen it? You want to sell them a little bit. Besides being the ultimate Josh Rubin vehicle where you and Aya Cash, is it just stay in one location for nearly 90% of the movie? And
that's correct.
It's just Josh going slowly insane and doing all the cool stuff that you're used to seeing Josh do.
I think the biggest criticism was I can't believe I just watched Josh Rubin's SNL reel. What a shitty excuse.
But hey, no one's watched your SNL. Like, I watched one of your SNL reels. It was incredible. So
yeah,
I mean,
a high production SNL reel is good.
I feel like if anyone were to watch it now, like every joke would get me canceled. Like even Isabella Rossellini doing jock jams, there's probably something someone will find and be like, Alex Jones, like there's just something in it. That I can't. But it's Scare Me is, let's see, two strangers tell each other scary stories to ride out a power outage. But the scariest tale of all is Fred is the lesser storyteller. That was like a really bad log line, but basically like it's about a guy who's like super competitive with this woman storyteller and realizes she's way better than him, and that becomes more dangerous than any creature in any of the tales over this campfire. But the cool thing is there's no props. We like literally tell stories in space, like I guess like a little improv story.
Yeah. Cool. And it's very, do a good job of setting a tense mood throughout the entire movie, that like while things are silly, like in a hardly working environment, but like everything is a little moody, scary, tense, anxious the entire time.
Yeah.
The horror movie of it all.
It was interesting to like, you know, I didn't make a preachy Me Too movie, but it's definitely about like men, like emasculated men in the face of a woman's greatness. Like, like this woman is like so much more talented. So it was like, it reminded me a lot of men I've met in my life who just like feel entitled to when like women like make a little more money. Like with that, we don't ever say this sort of stuff, but she's clearly more successful than this guy. And so when I pitched this, when I was sort of pitching this story to like, you know, fellow white mid-30s men, they were kind of like, yeah, that's wow. They wouldn't necessarily compliment it or sort of like, they're just like, I do understand that.
Yeah.
Like a Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And the twist is that he's actually a better storyteller in the end, right? Isn't that interesting?
Yes. But he has a better car. Does he have a better car? Help. I will not see it. I won't see it.
So is it still streaming or can you only watch it with these?
Yeah, it's on Shudder, it's on iTunes, Amazon, I don't know, just go to the old Just Watch app and find, I don't know, you know?
Hell yeah. I guess I should introduce this podcast now that we're about 20 minutes in, people know, if you're listening, Just for Josh, this is If I Were You, an advice podcast, actually the only one on the internet hosted by me and Jake, and oftentimes we're alone in our Zoom room. Today, we're fortunate enough to have Josh Rubin, writer, director, actor of Scare Me.
And
what's the new one that I haven't seen yet?
Well, the new one no one's seen yet.
Okay, so I don't feel
June 25th. Unless, that one's coming out.
Unless it's been pirated. Werewolves Within, it's a comedy ensemble whodunit with Sam Richardson and Milana Vaintrub. Wow. Our buddy Milana.
Mm-hmm.
They're fantastic in it, and it's cool. It's about a divided small town that gets actually similar to Scare Me, snowed in, they basically like have it out with each other as toxic resentments in the small town sort of like boil over. But also there might be something like lurking in the darkness picking them off. So it's got kind of like a Ready or Not, like Knives Out kind of a vibe. It was fun as hell. We shot it when there was a lot of snow in Fleischmann's, New York. And also like
so
shot,
fun.
Like we wrapped like 3 days before lockdown. So towards the end, everyone was like, have you heard about this?
why do you only shoot movies in really cold, dark, wintry months in freezing places? Horror movies.
I think because I'm averse to wearing a fitted shirt. So if I can wear a big Patagonia and eat a lot of brownies, I think that's it. I think I'm ashamed of my body. And so I want to, if I could shoot where it's cold, I could wear a big chunky sweater and have a Pilsner with a brownie and just like, you know, not have to go swimming.
Is that why you guys shot Hardly Working Brownies, you two? Is that the impetus was?
Wow. Funny story about Hardly Working Brownies. My ex-girlfriend, who I was trying desperately to win her affection back because, you know, I was 25 and didn't want to sort of, you know, explore my life.
Right.
She had brought those brownies, I think, like maybe 16 minutes before we shot. I feel like we just kind of decided to shoot it like after.
Yeah, it did happen. We were just like doing that. It felt like we were like doing that bit. And then it was like, everyone go get the cameras. We'll do it for real, right?
Yeah.
Right, because that wasn't scripted. It was just like, it was one joke done in a very interesting way. I think it's one of my favorite Hardly Working still. Just like you guys laughing and getting mad with brownie batter in your teeth.
That was it. I can't. Do you ever look back at that like golden era? There will be a documentary, I'm sure.
I hope.
You know, it'll look like I'll Be Gone in the Dark, but it'll be about the College Humor days where you could like make a salary, but also leave for a 3-hour lunch and buy jeans.
I'm still waiting for the
think
oral.
About that
I want the oral history so badly.
Yeah.
I want someone to write that oral history.
It will happen. Absolutely. It will. It totally will.
We were all,
do you think about that? Like,
yeah, we were poor and happy, a lot happier and a lot poorer than we are now. And it doesn't make any sense. What did we know? Why are we so carefree?
I used to sleep. Now you like go to work and you want to go home. You know, it's like better to be at home. I used to sleep at the office. I used to like be there until like 11. I used to go there on the weekend sometimes.
Yeah.
It was like a social club.
Right, showing that place off, like, oh my gosh, you want to use the bathroom, please, like, let me scan a card. I know a doorman.
I do remember like having friends visit that office was like so impressive.
Yeah,
because you had the bathroom code.
Were you guys in every office? Were you in like the White Street one?
We were in the Tribeca one. The Tribeca one was nice, but it got so crowded by the end that it was just and there were two bathrooms and they always stunk of shit. It was brutal. And then 225 Park Avenue. The Park Avenue office was just like the absolute best one. I rode my bike by there the other day and it like gave me...
Oh God, yeah, that's where Jordan Hall and Jack Zerbe got in a wrestling match.
Oh my God, the shit that we did that...
First Jack Zerbe shout out.
Do you remember the, like, what that was though? Like we had just almost like an after work wrestling club where the entire office stood in a circle and we would just point to two different people and they would wrestle. Like that could never happen now. We would just like you, Jordan, and like, and I think I wrestled Vinny, Rosie wrestled like Kevin maybe, but like
absolutely.
Jordan Hall was the strongest guy. It made no sense. Like I remember helping clean
up. It was terrifying.
I remember being
Deadwood scary.
Yeah. I was like cleaning up a set after a shoot one time. I was like trying to help Jordan and I was like moving like this box, like both hands dragging it across the floor, needing somebody else to come pick up the other end. And Jordan just like picks it up by the handle, one hand, tosses it into a truck. He's a maniac.
Yeah, because he was like a cattle farmer or whatever, which is why it was terrifying to watch Jack Dahmer Zerbe.
Who was an MMA fighter. Jack was like a fucking, like a dad and like a trained mixed martial arts fighter. And Jordan was just like the strongest. Jordan just couldn't lose.
Man in town.
Yeah. Jordan has no wrestling knowledge.
He's a lumberjack.
Yeah.
He was a little lumberjack.
But he just doesn't lose. And Jack is like a a trained fighter, and it was fucking insane.
But I didn't know that. I just saw a man in khakis and a button down, and I was like, "Oh, this will take 2 minutes." And just, I think there's 7D footage of it somewhere. Maybe yeah, everybody had that camera.
There's beautiful photos of these of this somewhere.
Absolutely,
on a Flickr account that nobody can access. Jack Zerby's Flickr account. All right, we need to take a break and answer some fucking questions. Otherwise, Jack Zerby's legal department is going to send us a very hateful cease and desist.
And the line is open, guys. The line is open. Please start calling. Please.
Nobody's calling yet, but we'll be back after these messages. I think we got a good one for you.
All right.
Thank you to Babbel for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Gracias,
Babbel. Very good. I don't know if you know this, Jake, but I'm already bilingual.
Really?
Yep. I grew up in a Hebrew-speaking household.
Ken.
Lamadti Ivrit Babayit. That means I learned Hebrew at home. Mm. The best way to learn a language is through immersion.
Yes.
But if your parents aren't actually from a different country and constantly speaking to you in that language, how do you immerse yourself?
You're not going
to
get immersed, folks.
The best way to do so is by using Babbel.
Babbel.
It's a science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Ooh.
You don't have to pay hundreds of dollars for tutoring, okay?
Yeah.
You can just spend 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by 200 language experts that help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Incredible.
I need this because, you know, I already got the Hebrew. I want to go French. I want to go Spanish.
You should go full French. Let's go full French on your rap.
Let's French. Let's French. bonjour indeed.
Oui, oui.
How about a special limited time offer for our listeners? Right now, you can get 55% off your Babbel subscription.
Whoa.
But you got to go to babbel.com/segments. That's 55% off babbel.com/segments, spelled babbel.com/segments.
Segments, and segments is spelled S-H-A-N-M-S.
You are illiterate in English.
Yeah.
So I say throw English away. That's not going to happen for you.
I'll go full French.
Go to Italian.
I'll go Italian.
Go to German.
Yes, I will go to German.
And I'll meet you there.
Yes, guten Tag.
Thank you. Rules and restrictions may apply indeed. But again, you can get 55% off at Babbel, babbel.com/segments.
Love it.
Ciao.
Adios.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. And we're back. I said, Josh, this one has some horror movie vibes. It's written by a lady. So why don't you give this lady a fake name we can refer to her as?
Oh, Mildred Dinks.
Wow, that was fast. Okay. Mildred Dinks writes, I've lived with one of my roommates for 4 months now, and I'm still slowly getting to know him. He's kind of quiet, but we'll have small talk here and there, and occasionally he'll ask how my day was. We had a movie night a couple times with one of our other roommates, and we're both working as well and are not home very much at the same time. He seemed totally normal until recently he mentioned how he was thinking about purchasing a satanic Bible he saw at a bookstore downtown. Then he mentioned how he's never used a Ouija board before and is curious about the experience. He's never given any indication that he's into that kind of stuff or curious about it, and it obviously has me taken aback. I'm not religious, and I've personally never had any paranormal experience, and I don't really believe in ghosts either. But the fact that this guy is thinking so much about dark matters is really concerning to me. Should I find a new roommate or leave the situation be, considering I don't believe in ghosts? Do I tell him he shouldn't purchase a freaking satanic Bible? What if he's a sociopath? Please help me out. Love your show. Do more live shows soon. Come back to Seattle. Thank you so much, Mildred.
Thanks, Mildred Dink.
So Mildred doesn't believe in ghosts, but at the same time is really creeped out by the satanic Bible and what it's capable of. And should she tell her roommate that he can't actually do that dark arts shit in her apartment?
How long has she known Jack Zerby?
It seems like it's 4 months. I live with one of my roommates for about 4 months. So do you believe in that stuff, Ouija and ghosts and...
I don't know if I believe in Ouija boards, but I wouldn't fuck with one. I've just heard a little too much. I don't want to open a crevice.
Oh my God! Look what happened!
The crevice is opening. It's opening in Josh.
Yes, my advice would be crack it open. Learn from him.
Set Sorry, that was
free.
Just my Croy.
Holy shit.
Sorry, that was my Croy. It was just Croy. But no, Mildred, get out.
Yeah. You think that's too scary of a situation? The dark arts, the satanic Bible?
There's the difference between Ouija and the satanic Bible. If the roommate is like curious about like paranormal activity and ghosts, that seems fine. Like maybe more quirky than creepy. If he's fucking like doing dark arts satanic rituals, that's fucking not no bueno. You gotta get that out. And like this, the risk isn't that the ritual works and Satan is unleashed, right? It's just that this guy is a little too. He thinks he's possessed.
You know? Yeah,
you don't want that.
Wouldn't refusing the Bible almost escalate it to the point where it feels too real? Or it's like, you can't let that cursed book in here, not near my bed. Then it's like, ooh, right. What powerful.
Yeah, you get yourself a cross necklace and like a garlic garland.
Get some garlic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With all your holy water.
Just overdo it. Get a Jehovah's Witnesses book, some Christian Science pamphlets, some garlic, just a pilgrim hat. I don't know why.
Right.
And maybe he'll just at least cool it a little bit.
Totally. Yeah.
That's terrifying.
It could also
be Henry Zebrowski. I don't know.
Mm. I mean, you could have your own exorcism. That at least makes you the creepy one. That's
right.
That's a tech.
Out creep him.
Right.
Out creep him. Mm-hmm. Just drink some Croy and go, gah! You know.
Josh, did you watch these movies? Like, how do you have such an encyclopedic knowledge of these scary movies? You've been pigeonholed into directing these horror films. Are you like a horror aficionado or did you just luck into this world?
I was a horror fan before I was a comedy fan. My sister and my brother, this was more Rachel, my sister. That was like, she was like, you know, yeah, hey, check out this movie with Freddy Krueger. He's like a cartoon character. You know, you can tear his face off and reveal a skull underneath. I think I just, for some reason, just took to horror movies a lot earlier, especially the schlocky, like VHS colorful cover stuff. Mm. Because they kind of looked cartoonish in their own way. Like, oh, Monkey Shines. that's cool. It's a picture of a monkey. It's like, no, it's there's a, you know, monkey in the attic killing people. But I took to it. I don't know. Maybe it was because, you know, on sweatpants days, I wore my sweatpants, but on jeans days, I wore my sweatpants.
Yeah. So you were an indoor kid.
Like on gym days. Yeah. On gym days, you know, like I wore sweatpants, so I didn't have to change. And so horror movies made me feel whole.
Got it. Yeah. You weren't watching the Super Bowl. You were watching Child's Play home at age eight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch any sports growing up? Did you dabble in that world at all?
I took karate for a day, and then I think I'm sure at one point there was like a girl that liked football, and I pretended to like it. That was a hard time. I remember one time though, when I bought like athletics, or my mom bought me athletic sneakers when I was like nine. She bought me like basketball shoes, which I just thought were like cool looking, along probably with like a Cardinals hat because I thought it was cool colors, or like a Charlotte Hornets hat because like, oh, cool B.
Yeah.
The cashier was like, oh, do you play basketball? Like looking at, you know, a chubby Danny Torrance pretty much. And she was like, he's an actor, not an athlete. And I remember being so offended that my mom said that about me, as if like, no, mom, tell him I'm a basketball star, and then go home and play Batman toys until I fell asleep in my own drool. You know,
it does feel like there were two types of kids growing up. Like, I didn't know anybody who was like a movie freak like you and also a sports fanatic. It seems like those were two different types of brains. Like, even,
well, I feel like that's you guys though. I feel like you guys appreciate, like, you know, entertain, or maybe it was like comedy albums, or maybe I'm conflating.
Yeah.
And sports or something.
I guess I think I was a comedy fan when I was like, I don't remember anything I thought about it when I was nine, but I think when I was like 12, like fifth and sixth grade, me and my friends liked like Adam Sandler and Chris Farley movies. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but you weren't like.
But you were also like playing, like, you know, basketball probably, right? Yeah,
I guess I got swept up in like sort of playing sports. I was never good at sports. But my friends were good at sports.
I was
a transitional, like, crossover kid, like nerd and cool kids, but I had no actual, I basically had no skills or likes of either group. I wasn't as smart as the nerds, but I was more of a nerd, but I wasn't as athletic as the cool kids. So I was in the middle of nowhere.
Like, when you listen to that Adam Sandler, they're all going to laugh at you. Did you know that came from a horror movie, the Carrie movie, or did you just think that was Adam Sandler being wacky?
Oh, I thought that was just Adam. I thought Adam Sandler made that up for sure.
Yeah. For sure.
And Josh, that would be the only thing that I liked about it, other than like the lunch lady song.
Yeah, you were watching. I remember watching those horror movies, and like I was like 7 or 8, and I was like, yeah, that seemed like too young. And then I see like my 7 or 8 year old niece. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, somebody this age was watching fucking Friday the 13th. Like, no way. That's so fucking alarming.
She saw Kevin Bacon get stabbed through the throat, or like a bear giving fellatio to a businessman in a hotel room in The Shining. It's like, I don't think so.
Yeah, that was too early for me to have seen that.
I saw Candyman when I was, it had to be like less than 10. And that is what ruined horror movies for me, because I was so scared.
Yeah. Trauma.
Yeah. I'm fucking petrified. I'm still afraid of it.
Me too. That one is, Tony Todd. That's a terrifying one. You looking in the mirror, I will not say Candyman. I'll say Beetlejuice anywhere. I want to hang out with a fucked up looking Michael Keaton. You know, nice Zagnut bar. Like, I'll do that. But Candyman,
Candyman's bad.
What's the most scared you've been after watching a movie? I have a very specific movie and memory of this, so I can answer first my own question.
I no joke. I think Candyman was one. The scene in the bathroom was pretty terrifying. Yep. And actually, oh man, I was gonna say Cat's Eye with the troll in the wall, with little young Drew Barrymore getting, you know, her life sucked out through her nose by a troll. But I think it was. This is, I don't know, kind of basic, but Paranormal Activity 2.
Interesting.
I almost cried. I was so scared. There's a scene when like some character gets like dragged from upstairs all the way downstairs. It's like into the attic. And like once they go in the attic, like the attic door closes. And I remember being in the theater, like as a 30-year-old man, just going like, you know what I mean? Like I thought, I was like, no, I can't do that.
Mine
what
was,
about, I mean,
mine was Blair Witch, like 15 years old, seeing it like DVD or not even DVD, like CD copy on my computer with my friends. We're like, we can't sleep alone tonight. Like, the Blair Witch will probably get us. Was this real? Was this a movie? Like, who found this fucking disc? Yeah. they leaked it out to like teenagers around America to like,
yeah.
I got motion sickness after Blair Witch, which I think was a blessing. Like, I got nauseous and threw up because of all the camera movements. And I think like, that kept me from being scared. But I remember watching The Ring on like, it was in high school.
Yeah.
It was in high school, and the girl that I liked came over and she liked scary movies. And I lied and was like, yeah, I like scary movies, whatever. And we watched The Ring, and I'm fucking 17 years old. I was so fucking frightened afterwards. I went upstairs and I slept in my brother's room on the floor, which was too scary for me because I'm like, there's only one other person in here. And then my two of my sisters shared a room, and I went and I slept in their floor with the lights on. I'm a senior in high school.
And they're
12. All younger. Aren't you the oldest sibling?
The second oldest. But yeah, they were 12 at the time. They were 12. I'm 18 or 17. And
They
should have all made their hair soaking wet. Oh my, and like started crawling.
I don't know why. Why would I want to surround myself with like 12-year-old girls after The Ring? It's counterintuitive.
That was the only time my friend Nick, who was like the manliest friend I knew, which is funny because he's a you know, a very gawky kind of Bill Murray lookalike and 17 years old. We saw The Ring in the theater. It was the only time ever like Nick ever like yelped and like literally dug his fingernails into my forearm as if I were on a date, mm-hmm. you know.
Is it first
genderized
that like jump scare?
Yes.
He's in the closet.
In the first five fucking minutes with the jaw.
Yeah. Fucking forget it. Forget it. I hated
it.
I hate
it.
That just gave me the chills now, and it's fucking daytime.
You should watch The Ring tonight at midnight.
Yeah, dude. Never sleep again. Yo, air I'm horn. Fucking scared, bro.
All right, let's take one more break. We have one more question we want to answer on the other side of these messages. Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar. But for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast.
It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah. Kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress, and all mattresses come with a 10 or 15-year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz, and you get 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20. All one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Wow. Very excited.
Jake, did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they just completely forgot about?
I did know that, but only because we've done one of these ads before, and I was floored when I found out.
Yeah, streaming content, you download an app to learn a thing, and then 13 months later, you're paying $6.95 for a flexibility course that you haven't taken since 2022.
Mm-hmm. You're stiff as a board. I mean, my God.
That's going to happen. Well, thank you, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app
That's right.
that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower those bills so you can grow your savings.
Beautiful.
Rocket Money sort of scours your bill. They say, get rid of this, this, that, and the other, and then you can suddenly find yourself with some extra cash in your pocket.
Exactly. Right.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Holy smokes.
Really good.
An average of $740 a year when you use the app's robust features. You found some stuff on Rocket Money that you canceled, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you don't have to name names, of course, but like what? You saved, I thought you said close to $1,500, $1,600 a month?
That's, hey, easy does it.
A lot of gray area, okay. quasi-legal,
no,
kind
no.
of dangerous subscriptions that Rocket Money me. Found.
That wasn't me.
And canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually now I want them back.
I'm scared without them. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Oh, yeah.
That's rocketmoney.com/segments. rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Rocket Money. And we're back. We got another non-scary but still silly roommate question. This is about a contentious bathtub issue from another dude. A dude in SF. So give us an SF dude's name, Josh.
Oh, okay. Blinkin' Andy.
I love the name Blinkin'.
Blinkin' Andy writes, I'm a 24-year-old from SF, and I just moved into a house with two of my best friends a few months ago. The house is sick, but not quite equitable. I'll keep it quick, but the context is important. The house is three stories, two this bedrooms
sounds like
the second
character Josh just did before the break.
I'll keep this quick, bro.
Two bedrooms on the second floor that share a bathroom and a master on the third floor with an ensuite and walk-in closet.
Oh, ensuite and a walk. Fucking forget about it.
The ensuite bathroom is absolutely prime and has a nice ass bathtub. Mm. When we got the house, we bid on the master bedroom and I had the highest bid. So now I pay 25% more in rent for my room than what others pay. Totally fair. Here's the sticky part. One of my roommates is in a long distance relationship and his girlfriend is coming over next weekend to visit. He mentioned to her that I was going to be out of town and she asked him, oh, can we use his bathtub? He brought this up to me a couple days ago and said he would clean the bathtub before and after as a thank you. Sorry, the bathroom before and after. I sort of said it was fine because I was caught pretty off guard, but now I'm thinking, do I really want to let him have a romantic bath with his girlfriend in my bathroom? That feels gross, even though he's going to clean it. Plus, I'm already paying way more for the nice bathroom, even though I don't really use the tub. Am I being a little bitch about this? Or is this a pretty absurd request? Is it too late to back out? I'm a bit of a coward, so I was thinking about sabotaging the bath by finding a way to cut off the water or leaving a bunch of dirty clothes in there to deter them the next day, on the day. Any creative suggestions would be much appreciated. Thank you.
Blinken, therapy is my creative suggestion. Like, cool the fuck down, Blinken, bro.
What if would you let somebody use your fucking bathtub? I mean, this is prime bathtub.
They're going to clean it before and
they're
after.
They're going to clean it.
Twice. His cum is going to stain the bathroom for eternity. The amount of like, fucking...
No one fucks in tubs, bro. That's just something that, like, you've seen in, like, Skullface or like, Scarface, bro.
Yeah, but then you're using the bathtub. They're like, all right, what's the big deal? Let's make the jump to his fucking bed. I mean, we're already on the third floor. Now
they're fucking
the whole
in your
weekend
bed. They're
feet?
Shitting on your sheets. They're wiping their taints on your curtains. It's just not.
That's true.
It's tacky. It's tacky.
It's tacky. Don't do it. It's tacky. I understand. You know what? Sabotage it. Cut the water off. Great. Exert the effort.
I do like the idea of him cutting the water off just because it might result in him not being able to ever turn it back on, which would be the good result for
but you know what? You're totally right. I think call the San Francisco Department of Water and Power. I think that's a perfectly rational decision.
Shut off your tub.
Don't ask him not to.
Take a sledgehammer to your tub.
Jake, this was you in a way. We moved in to a big ass place in LA, me, you, and Marty.
Yeah, I remember.
Mm-hmm. We had one master with the ensuite.
The master and with the ensuite.
One mini master.
The his and hers, the dual sinks.
Yeah. The soaking tub. There was a Japanese soaking tub in there. A walk-in closet.
It was perfect. And I had the mini master.
Two fucking balconies.
Yeah, two balconies.
Two walkout balconies. And you had that fucking Romeo and Juliet balcony.
Yeah, I had one mini balcony. We called it the master, the mini master. And then Marty stayed in a sort of hamper type room down in the basement area.
Adjacent to the laundry room.
We called it the Kegel. That's right. So the Kegel would sort of live below the house. Then there was the mini master, and then there was the master. And I think you were probably paying 2.5 times what Marty was paying. It wasn't like a 25% premium.
I paid double what Marty paid. Marty's room was fucking awful. So
it was a dark hole. It was a dank, dark hole.
And he shared like his bathroom. Like, because we also had podcasters coming in and out of the house at that time because we launched HeadGum from that house. And
that's right.
Like, so any guest, anybody that was just like in there would use Marty's bathroom because that's that was the only downstairs bathroom.
That's right. So
I was at the party where that toilet flooded.
Yeah, that was my toilet.
That was my
toilet.
Yeah. But it was leaking, but it was leaking into the Kegel.
So every time Jake would take a shit, the poop would land into the Kegel's bed. That was sort of the way the plumbing worked in the home. So the master
directly
would shit
into the Kegel.
That's the way the Kegel crumbled back then.
You get that, buddy. You're only paying $1,100 to live here. That's a small price to pay. And yes, you live in a crawl space behind the pantry, and the only way to access it is through the cereal. That's sort of how it goes. It's par for the course. So would you let the Kegel use your soaking tub, master?
I mean, I think that I definitely let Marty never ask, but I definitely let you use my bathroom from time to time.
Why did I use your bathroom? I had a bathroom of my own.
Yeah, you used to need to shave in my bathroom, and I don't entirely remember why.
Oh, I think because you had the sink with like the counter space, and I had just like a sink that was like kind of like a loose bowl in the middle.
You had a pedestal sink. Yeah, call that a pedestal sink, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. There was no counter space.
How did you win the argument to get the 6,000 square foot bedroom when everyone else had Kegels and shitholes?
If anything, I lost because I overbid. I wanted the master so bad that I was like, I will pay any price. I'll pay. Because we were also, all three of us were so competitive about who was going to have the best room.
We had to make the master so expensive that he felt like he lost. Yeah. Otherwise, there's no way to make the master worth it.
Wow,
it had to come with the price of guilt that I'm paying 2.5 times what Kegel is paying, so that like that's financial fair. And mental gymnastics sort of balanced themselves out. Mm-hmm. And the real hard part was pricing the mini master. Is it more of a Kegel or more of a master? And it was sort of right in between.
Which was like, your room.
Yeah, that was my room. I had not my own private bathroom, but like a bathroom right
no
across
one used
the hall.
It but you, yeah.
Yeah. And only, fair. You know, one balcony instead of two. And like, it was probably half the size of the master. But the master was insane.
The master had like fucking, it really was, it was worth what I paid for it, I think, in retrospect.
I think your balcony.
It was a pretty epic.
Yeah. You had a balcony that was like a separate room. Like your balcony alone was bigger than the Kegel.
My balcony was almost the size of your room and there was like a couch on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Why we ever left that house. We shouldn't have left.
I was gonna ask.
Yeah, we were renting it as part of like HeadGum, so like it was split between us and the business, and then the lady realized she was undercharging us and ended up selling the place for like millions of dollars. And we're like, you probably should have done that 6 months ago.
Instead of letting three idiots live here for a year.
You would let people use your soaking tub if you were out of town, would you not?
Yeah, and I'm pretty certain that it happened. I can't remember it exactly. Definitely. I remember we like let people stay there and they used the tub. It's weird to
this
not
guy's
be
out of
there,
town
not,
too.
They're not even asking to use your bed. I could imagine being like, I want to stay in your room for the weekend. I might bristle at that, but they're just saying let us use your bathroom. Like, that's fine.
Yeah, it is weird because like there's not much of a difference. You're not there. They can use your bedroom and you have no idea. Like, Right. It's not a favor at all, it seems like. And yet it still feels a little weird.
It's honestly nice that he asked, because he's going to now, and you're going to get a tub clean out of the whole thing. Because the alternative is he just lies to you and you leave town and they use it and, you know, never say anything.
And don't Ajax the cum. You'll have to, like, that's the Kekle crisp of it. You know, that's the way the Kekle crumble comes.
Ajax.
Eat your Kekle crisp.
Eat your Kekle crisp. Cum.
Hey, T-shirts ideas.
The Kekle would actually clean Jake's toilet every day, right? Well, Didn't the Kekle have to do that?
The Kekle was my toilet.
So you would use almost
the Kekle cleaned his room.
Kekle.
The Kekle was cleaning the toilet. Yeah,
that's cool.
Good night, Marty.
Don't forget to make the flushing noise, Kekle. I want you to be a real toilet for me now. Don't just half-ass it. He paid $20 a month to live in that mansion, but the torture he had to endure from the master. Yeah, will and never also,
he
be
was
paid
the
off.
Client face. He was the client facing operation.
He had to have a suit.
Why do you smell? Yeah.
And at that time, Jill had a studio apartment like down the street. So I would spend some nights at her house, and I would just be like, "What am I doing? What am I doing? I should be in the fucking master."
Yeah, or you should have switched with the Kekle, but you didn't want to give him that.
No, I didn't.
He didn't
give
deserve that
satisfaction.
Yeah. If anything, you'd have to promote me from the mini master to the full. It doesn't go from Kekle to master. That's
or let
too
him
much
sleep
of a
on the balcony
up.
With the couch. I mean, I feel like that's like, get a tent, you know.
I would sometimes catch the Kekle sunning Kekle's self on my balcony, and I would spray him with the hose, and the Kekle would scamper away down the wall.
Oh, so sorry. Oh, sorry. And just
wine
climb
drunk.
Down the side of the house.
What are you doing
naked?
In my room, Kekle?
I'll climb down the side of the house naked.
You frightened me, Kekle.
Ah, sorry. You flush on me one last time. No.
What is this angry attitude, Kekle?
I am the client-facing operation.
I caught the Kekle reading a book yesterday, Master. I don't know where he's learning such courageous thoughts.
Quiet, Mini Master.
Yes, I was only reading the back of the Kekle crisp. I read the back of the Kekle crisp.
Who gave you cereal, Kekle? I thought you were to only eat fish.
I had to crawl through the cereal to get to my room. I had to crawl through the cereal. I have to go through the cereal.
I smell a third horror movie for you, man. It's called Mini Master. Oh, yeah, Parasite. Do you have plans for a third? Do you know what's next?
Yeah.
He can't announce it. Is it a secret?
Holy shit, it's going to be on Deadline.
There's no secret.
I know it.
No one's, bro,
I know
no
it.
One pay, no one's paying me yet, bro. I have no dreams left. I think the third thing I'm going to do is go back to work in Best Buy inventory. All my dreams have come true. All my dreams have come true. I won the EGOT. I'm ready to go back.
Congrats,
to
by the
kind
way.
Of like being a cobbler like Daniel Day Lewis, you know what I mean? Just like kind of just
glue
very
and shoes.
Simple.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
All right, Josh, one last time.
Totally.
How do people watch these movies? What are your social medias? Let people learn.
You can find me at just my name, Josh Rubin,
nice.
R-U-B-E-N.
Nice.
You can see Scare Me on Shudder. It's on Blu-ray. It's on DVD. It's you can rent it or buy it on iTunes, Amazon, anywhere you get your movies.
Woo. Great, great horror movie. Great low-pro horror movie. You guys did so much with such a limited space. And I'm assuming
with just Josh's 401k. My God.
Wow.
Can you believe it? Oh, here comes that woo IRS IRS car.
You can't retire, as it were, but you do have six DVDs with broken jackets to give away. So
correct. That's correct. I hope fans appreciate it when I'm shivering in my my 1940 Volvo. Actually, that's kind of nice.
Because you'll be able to wear a lot of jackets.
Sweet.
Correct.
And thank you to you guys for sending in your questions and your theme song. The email address for anything, everything is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Yeah. Would you believe we have another all my favorite songs are slow and sad parody slow for the closing. Sad.
Yeah,
we do. Yeah,
cool.
This one is by Liam Masters, so he doesn't have anything to plug. So shout out to Canada, I guess. Thank you to Liam.
Okay.
And thank you to Josh, and thank you to you guys for listening. We'll be back, of course, next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Everyone's advice really sucks. I killed myself inside a Starbucks. Oh, shucks. All I wanna do right now is bust a nut to seize that cheese, just email these fucks. If I were you, would Jake and Amir. Ooh, Amir gets the dirties here. Ooh, and Jake gets the golden mics. Ooh, 'cause his name is Liquid Nice. Ooh.
I mean, if you think about it, most chipmunks don't win any awards, so by comparison, a turdie is not that bad.
That was a HeadGum Original.